And Lord, when we pray a song like that, we have to be ready to accept what it means. Speak, O Lord, your word, your plans. Your ways are higher than ours. Your thoughts are way higher than ours. And when we ask you to take that word and wield it to our soul, it may not always feel good when you puncture us to begin with. It may not feel good when you rub off the things of this earth. But God, it will do what you intended to do. And we will be better for it. I pray now, Lord, your honor upon your word, which we treat with the greatest respect. And ask, Lord Jesus, to open up our ears, all of us, to hear what you have to say. And may you be honored, Lord, in your own house. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Void. Void. Tell you the definition. There's a couple definitions. Legally, to void means to have no legal force or effect. If you voided a contract, that's it. There is no contract if it's been voided. Spatially, it means, if it's void, it means it contains nothing. It means it's empty. Do you remember in the beginning of the book of Revelation, it said, and the earth was void. Now, God doesn't create junk. So this would have come after the fall of Lucifer, because he ends up being in the domain of earth. That's how he ends up in the Garden of Eden. And when he came and when he fell out of heaven, of course, God was already in charge. God was already prepared. He didn't wait for the problem to have a solution. Aren't you glad? Man, sometimes we have a problem. We go, Lord, how are you going to fix that? And he goes, you know, if you just turn to me, I've already got it solved. You know, that's why he's so wonderful. But our relationship with God, did you know that it's not a contract? It's a covenant. It's a covenant. There's a difference. A contract means that you have a business relationship with somebody on whatever level. A covenant means you have a personal relationship. The stakes are significantly higher. That's why it's called a marriage covenant, not a marriage contract. You have two. Actually, the Lord, so you have three, but you have that personal devotion, which Ray's had today for 68 years. He doesn't even look over 50. I mean, how wonderful is that? But how can any covenant from God be considered of none effect, be void? How is that possible? God always completes what he said he was going to do, right? People will say, well, you know, God's word is going to be fulfilled, which is true. And his kingdom is going to be established, and it will. The biggest question for us is, are we going to be in it or out of it? Okay? The scripture is filled of people that God wanted to use, and they didn't want to be in how God was doing it. Because the Lord's not taking second place. That's like when I was working in event sales, and one of the owners, he calls, and he says, how's it going with hiring people? And I said, well, it's not going really well. And he said, why? And I said, well, they want your salary, and generally they want your job. And I don't think you want to give it up. You don't want to hire somebody whose eye is upon your job. You think God wants to use people that are out for his job? That's what was Lucifer's problem in the first place. He wanted God's job. And he's still upset about it. And he holds a grudge, I can guarantee you. How can any covenant from God be of none effect? How can it be void and empty? Well, how can it contain nothing? Can't. I mean, mankind was created from nothing, that's true. But in God's hands, nothing becomes something. And he's the only one I know of that can do it. Now keep in mind, when it says, because we're going to talk about this, it will set out, it will do and accomplish what he sets out for it to do, it may not be our idea of what that means. We like the end result, we're not so keen on the process. Okay? So it may not look like what we like, but it's more infinitely important that God has his way than we have ours. So I'm going to read the great scripture here. Isaiah 55. I'm going to go back to 9 just because I'm doing that. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And when you look at that word sent at the end, it's on the word studies. Does anybody want a word study sheet that didn't get one? Did everything get handed out? I have no clue. If you need one, please raise your little digits. Return policy. When I worked at event sales, I worked in customer returns. And they could be in the return aisle because they had a stain on them, or because they weren't the right color, or for whatever reason. And where they got into problems, which most stores do, was that the customers wanted to take that return item, take it to the original store, and get the original price out of it. So they were always looking to get a better deal. And I know this is the Church of Savers, so, but I know you do it through the proper means. But people wanted return items at a discounted price. We had a lady who was a district manager for about 5 days, and she kept wanting to explain to people, we've got return items, but they're first quality. They can't be first quality and returns. They've already been handled by somebody. They've already been used. I remember when Target first opened up in South Minneapolis, 27th and Lake. It was called the Cheap Dayton Store at the time. And there wasn't any clothing aisle you went down where there wasn't torn seams, this and that. They were customer returns before they were even bought in the store because of everybody trying them on and doing things. Actually, a number of years ago, we went to, a Target, and they had a area that said clearance, which we always go to because we clear our way to get to the clearance. It had broken light bulbs on it. No, you stay clear of that stuff. That's not clearance. That's deadly, folks. Of course, I think we've informed the store. I don't remember, but here's the bedrock of truth. God starts and ends with pristine quality. And because we were tainted by sin and needed to be redeemed, God did a wonderful work in his greatest creation, which is mankind. And he died for us. He took away the sin. He redeemed us unto himself. And we're no longer junk. Do you know that? You're restored back to the original quality that God created you for. Unless you listen to the devil, who wants to point out every flaw and every problem. Okay? Don't listen to him. He's just a bad sport. Verse 9 talks about, as the rain and snow come down, and we know a little bit about snow in Minnesota. Boston's finding out even more so, aren't they? They're like, what, an inch away from their record all-time snowfall? Man, it's really coming down out there. Their beans are going to be white pretty soon. But at any rate, As it comes down to the earth, it's going to water the ground, it's going to bear fruit, it's going to sprout new life and furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And that means the person that's working out in the field is going to get residual effects, good things from sowing and taking care of that part of creation. He's given an analogy here. So his word, which is the ultimate seed of life, did you know every word in here, because it is the word of God, it is Jesus Christ, every time you bring it into your heart, it's a seed that drops in, and God's intention is that it gets watered, and it gets tilled, and it comes forth in new life. I love it. Janet was saying in Sunday school this morning how just reading this Sunday school portion, we were talking about the denials of Peter and the betrayal of Judas, and how she could just sense the Holy Spirit in the scriptures she's read for not 100 years, but a few. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit brings it to life? I got news for you. If he's not reading it to you, it's deader than a doornail. That's the truth. Anyhow, his word, the ultimate seed, it will not return to him void. It's not going to return empty. That word is not going to go back to God less than pristine. Not at all. Now, keep in mind that a lot of the word of God is reproof and correction. So when the Lord puts that in our life, it's going to go back pretty clear too. Hopefully it does its work in us, right? So when we come into his presence, we are what he wants us to be. So I want to go down through the 11th verse particularly. My word. Keep that word my in your mind. Did you know the word of God isn't yours? It's God's. It's his word. And contrary to the laws of this society, where after 50, 75 years, they go into public domain, this is his forever. Nobody else can interpret or mess it up, make it for their benefit. He said, this is my word, mine. My word, the term word here in the Hebrew, dabar, means speech or word. And it indicates this. It means that it was spoken. Do you remember when in Genesis it said, let there be light? He spoke that word. God spoke it. Who was listening? Every part of creation that was going to come alive. That's who was listening. The word should be spoken. Do you realize if you read it and speak it and hear it at the same time, you have an absolute 100% better chance of retaining it? Because all your senses are involved. We've talked before about audibly rebuking the devil, not just in your brain, but speak it out. Because he's real, okay? Same with the word of God, even more so. Read it. See how it hears, goes into your ear, and how you can hear it. What does Romans say? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Okay? We need to hear it. And we need to read it. And we need to love it. So it is a spoken word out of creation that God wants us to do and hear. So he says, the word that came out of my mouth, Hebrew, the word means mouth, but it also comes from a word that means as a means of blowing. Now I know we talk about people with hot air, but this is not hot air here. The mouth is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, out of the double-edged sword, out of the mouth of Jesus was the double-edged sword. It's his mouth. But whose wind is it? Holy Spirit. You ever try to say something and it just doesn't come out? Holy Spirit never has that problem. Never. You want to understand the word of God? Let the Holy Spirit teach it to you. He's the one who is able to do it. And it will not return void. The word return, of course, is the word shuv, and it means to return back, to return and return to origin. God initiated the word. He's the one who founded it. He's the one who presented it. Everything has to go back to him. And you know as well as I do when the word return, as it returns back, one of the definitions of turn or return, it's not in here, but it's the idea of repentance. That's what the word does, doesn't it? It's supposed to bring us to repentance. Because I can tell you this, it's infinitely better for us to deal with our lives and our difficulties and our failures on this side. On the other side, it's going to be shouted from the housetops. How many like that idea? You kidding? It's like putting it on the internet. Man, everybody's going to know. One small deal or whatever it seems to be is going to go all over the place. He said, it will not return to me, because it's coming back to God. It's returning to him. It belongs to him. It's not going to return void. The word re-com means emptily, vainly, and I like this definition, empty-handed. Never bring anything back to God empty-handed. Always bring the fullness, right, into God's presence. Even Jesus didn't go back to heaven empty-handed. He had scars. He still has them. You'll see them in the end when he comes again. This is our God. We have waited for him. You know why the scars are there? To show the love is eternal. And that there was a physical puncturing. There are people that believe that Jesus died spiritually. They do not believe he died physically. You know what that does to you? You don't have a redeemer, because a redeemer has to be a part of the human family. And without that, you're not redeemed, you're not bought back, you're not in the family of God. If you only believe in a spiritual redemption, that's not scripture. How many are glad he came to earth? Scoped us out. Yeah. Said, who can I pick on? Okay. This one is going to live here, 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 and here. And God knew where you were going to be. And he knew that we were all going to be assembled in this place today. He didn't know that this morning. He's already known it in eternity. He doesn't wait for us to exist to know. He's so phenomenal. It's amazing. His hand. This word comes from another word, which means to be empty and have no purpose. Can you imagine anything that God does to be of no purpose? I can't imagine it. His word, everything in it, is going to return back to him in full purpose, because he created it that way. One of the parts of the definition meant worthless and without any effect. If you're never affected by the word of God, then you really need to pray, folks. It should affect us. If you're never affected by a prayer time, then let me know, because I'll be praying for you. There should be effect. I'm not talking about emotionalism. When I got saved, I'm not extremely emotional, mostly because I don't like to, smear the makeup. But basically, I'm just not like that. And I remember, especially after our mother died and we'd go to the grave or whatever and everyone else is bawling. I'm standing there cold as a fish. And I started being concerned about it. I said, gee whiz, something must be wrong with me. And then he said, no, we're all different. Doesn't mean you didn't love her. And that's true. Don't let emotion control your life, because it doesn't always tell you the truth. The results of God's word at his command mean that it will accomplish what he set it out to do. The word accomplish, asa, means to do or make. And it means what he desires, what he wanted. Right? You decorate your home. Who do you decorate it for? I hope you decorate it for you. I know we decorate for us. If someone else doesn't like it, too bad. We decorate what we prefer. what we like. And God did the same thing. It's all out of his pleasing. The Hebrew word means a desire, a delight, to have pleasure in. Did you know that God has pleasure in you? He looks at you and says, I do pretty good work. I do. I look at Darlene and go, look at the work God did there. I mean, this woman has loved 2 million times above what most people understand. She's just terrific. And you know God is very pleased when he sees you, which is all the time. And he never gets bored with any of us. How many are glad he's not bored with you yet? Hey. He said, that word will prosper. Now, don't get it mixed up with the prosperity gospel of this world. We're not talking about giving to get. We're not talking about telling God what he has to do for us. We're talking about what God is pleased to do and to prosper his work. And the Hebrew word means to be out. Now, and don't take that for some of the definitions of this world either. What it means is God's prosperity for us, and his pleasure is visible. You'll be able to see it in your life. Now, maybe nobody else will see it, but there'll be a day, and there probably has been for all of you, at different times, God just does something he doesn't have to do. But he does it just to bless you, because he knows you like that. He gives you extra chocolate. Who else but God would do that? He does something just to let you know he knows you're alive and you're special to him, which is fabulous. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This Hebrew word means to send, to show, and experience prosperity. It also has the idea of the sent one. Do you know what sent one is? An apostle, a missionary. God sends his word to us in our lives as a missionary to us, as an apostle, to build up his work in us as well as through us. You want to find out who God is? Go deeper in the word. You will never be sorry. Never. Now, I want to tell you generally what this is meaning here, is that God keeps his order. In the original creation, God said, he spoke it, it was verbal, and he said, let there be light. And the first light lit up the world, and that was who? Jesus, the resurrected one. He lit up his own creation. I love it. Personally, we'll be celebrating that down the pike here. It is Jesus. Subsequently, the creative word brought forth visible evidence of that word. And what came forth? The lesser lights, the grass, the animals. And then at the end, usually you do your better work at the beginning, but God always builds up to something. And he builds up to his highest creation, which is man and woman. Because remember, they were together once. Then God pulled her out and said, here's what you've been with, so she could see him. And God did it his way, for his purpose. And he did a wonderful job. And all of his works should return what? His praise and his glory. There's no question about that, the Bible talks about. So when we return to God, whether it be in death, in rapture, which is my vote, okay? Time I see your shoes off there at the organ or Marianne's, I go, good, we're going up in the rapture. Leaving our stuff behind. Or however it works out in your prophetic belief system. We're going to go back to the God who created us. And what's his word in us going to be? How's it going to be affected? How's it going to be realized? I'm praying that I do what he wants me to do and let that word have his way, not my way, right? Because at the end, God's going to come into his field and he's going to go into that field and he's going to divide You know, God adds such as should be saved, and he divides. And he's going to divide the wheat from the tares. And those are the people sitting in churches, because the world's already lost, and they don't know it. But the sadness is for people sitting in churches that do not know the Lord or are not following him and don't know it. You don't want to find out on the day before you stand before the Lord. That's not the day to find out. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. But I want to remind you of one component that's imperative for the word to have its first and finest quality in us. Catch this, because at the beginning of the book of Genesis, before God speaks light, before he speaks creative genius, the Holy Spirit is moving over the face of the waters first. He goes into the void. He goes into the chaos. He goes into the emptiness caused more than likely by the fall of Lucifer. And he goes over it and he brings what? Order. You want order in your life? Let the Holy Spirit at it. He'll bring order. He won't kill you in the process either, because he's coming to give life, and that more abundantly. He brooded over the face of the deep. He wasn't brooding in a bad sense. It means that he was moving over it. Personally, the Word of God cannot come alive unless the Holy Spirit is the agent, because the Bible says it's his sword. The sword of the Word is the Spirit's. We have to be very careful when we wield it out there. If we're wielding it in anger or in whatever, it's going to come out wrong, and it's actually going to kill people. It's not going to bring life. So we got to let the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because it won't be empty-handed then. It'll be God's fullness in his hand, feeding us who he is and what he wants us to know. I'm so glad that the Lord knew we were defective, and he made the change so we could stand before him pure. Not to worry about what happens in the world. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray about it and be aware of it and witness because of it. Don't forget that. But let me tell you, you want the Word of God to return back to God in his fullness? Let the Holy Spirit apply it properly in your life. Now, sometimes that's going to smart. I admit that. There's been times I've told the Lord, please do your will, and then he does, and then I complain. Well, then don't ask me. You know, I mean, really. We got to say, Lord, you really know what you're doing. If he created such a beautiful world out there that changes every day, by the way, doesn't he want us to be changed from glory to glory into his presence and into his glory and honor? Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Believe me, you'll be glad you do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. God keeps an eye on his word. He knows where the seed has been planted, and he knows how it's being handled. He knows if it's being ignored. He knows if it's being embraced. And he knows what's coming from it. And his intention out of his pleasure is that it brings forth wonderful fruit. Beautiful aromas, wonderful sight, that intention, and ultimately of giving glory to the God who created it. That's what God is looking for. And because we were stained, and because we, under sin, were destroyed and could not come to God in our own relationship, he came down here because it pleased God that no man should die. He's not willing that any should perish. And how strongly he felt about it, he came down here. I don't know too many people that would go across not only the world, but certainly this entire universe, come out of the throne of glory and grace and holiness, and to come right down into the pit of hell that's living on earth for me and for you. God's pleasure is that you have a relationship with him, because eternity is a long time for a mistake, and he doesn't want you to be lost cut off, amputated from him and his body. So I'm going to ask with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you've thought about it before, or maybe you've never even considered it. Never occurred to you. God didn't go to the cross because he had to. He went because he wanted to. Because he saw your face. He saw your emptiness, the void and chaos of your life. And he wants to make order out of it. But he can't do it without your permission. So if you're here today and you'd say, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe when I needed help or I was in a crisis, but he doesn't want to be the last resort. He wants to be everything to us. And you'd say, pray for me, because I'd like to do that today. Today is the day to say yes to Jesus Christ. If you're here, please raise your hand so I can see it. I don't want anyone to be missed in the heart and in the plan of God. Nothing else is more important. Our lives can be over in a breath. Secondly, if you're here today, God has so much to give to you. His word is just waiting to bubble over into your life and create answers that man can never create. Healing, victory, wisdom, a future and a hope, all of it. But the Holy Spirit can't be on the back step. He's got to be out front, leading it, preparing it as we listen to him and tenderly respond in repentance if that's necessary or whatever it is, obedience. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life. And you'd say today, you know, I know about the Holy Spirit, but I've never paid as much attention to him as I should. And I want the power of the Godhead to work in me, but it doesn't come through my strength. It comes through my weakness and yielding my ownership to him. And I want his power so that the chaos of life and the disorder will come into order. And you'd raise your hand so I can pray for you. It's very important. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives the gifts. He's the one that reveals the word. He's the one that lifts up Jesus. He is the one that does everything. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these hands that are connected to lives and hearts that you adore, and you are pleased in them being in your house. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would brood over their face, over their life, and they would let you get into those deep, dark places that maybe their spouse doesn't even know about. Maybe nobody knows, but God, you know it's there. Lord, let the Holy Spirit have his way in every life, in every possible way. And may you build an excitement in our soul that when that happens, creation comes alive because God's in charge. And then it all returns to you for your glory and your honor. Lord, that is our prayer. And Lord, we trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing the last song, and you can stand, if you want to come up and just say, come at the altar and say, Lord, this is what I want. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that the Holy Spirit of God is gentle. He is the power of the Godhead, but he is gentle. Lord, he's not going to knock us over. He's not going to embarrass us. Lord, you want to set us free. You want to break the chains so we can serve you, Lord, the way that you intend. And then, Lord, to bring our lives and what's in your word as an offering before you to glorify you. Father, I pray that where we disregard your word, that you'd convict us. I pray, Lord, that when we take it as only how it affects us, that, Lord, you would remind us you take your word seriously and personally. Help us to give it the reverence it deserves. It is not a dead thing. It is a living voice from heaven. And we don't want to in any way disregard it. So, Lord, I thank you so much for your holy word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you would brood over each one, Lord, over this church, Lord, and to make it into the form and the order that pleases you. Lord Jesus, may we yield to you, Lord, whatever that means. But as long as you're doing the work, we know it will be a good work because you've begun a good work and you'll perform that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. Father, continue to work in us. We pray, Father, for your glory and for your honor. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.